Hi, this is the TMB Elections Committee. It's the meeting of May 20th, 2007. It's now 5:18 Pacific Daylight Time. And I have a list of the members who are on the call, and I think I can bring up a list of those who are not in order to take roll. Let's see. Teresa Allen is absent. Carolyn Burden
Yes, present.
Is present. Lydia Brazon
Here.
Is here. Terry Goodman is here. Jane Gatewood is absent. Ambrose Lane
Here.
Is here. Bob Lederer
Here.
Is here. Henry Knorr is absent. Rosalinda Palacios is absent. Sandra Rawline is absent. Serene Roberts
here.
Is here. Deb Shapto is absent. Jack Van Aken
present.
Is here. LaVarne Williams is absent. Carol Wolf.
Here.
Is here. So we have quorum. And there are two draft agendas, one on the website, which Bob reminded me of, which looks pretty good, and one that I sent via email. So I will
post. Would you send it to me? I have not received it.
Well, I'm proposing that we adopt the agenda that's on the kpftx.org/PACALENDAR, PACALENDAR. Jane Gatewood has joined the call at 5:20 p.m. Pacific.
Yes, and I apologize, but I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to call you back in 10 minutes. I had lost track of the time here. I can come back online in 10 minutes. I just wanted to check in.
Okay. We just made quorum, and we're one above with you. So we'll go over the agenda and be here when you call back.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay. So why don't I read through that agenda and see if there's any amendments. First is amend and approve the agenda, 5 minutes. Review and approval of minutes, that's the minutes of the March 25th and April 12th meeting, which was sent out. Ambrose, should I try to send those to you again?
I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
This is Carol. I just sent it to you, Ambrose.
Oh, did you? Thanks.
Item 3, special reports. The current item A is status and details of the election supervisor hire, which is something that we moved to this meeting's agenda from last meeting. Item B is a discussion with National Election Supervisor Casey Peters. Then 4 is Four is work group reports, and I think I have all of our work groups listed. That's technology follow-up, which is an ad hoc.
Press pound. To cancel, press star.
Hello? Am I muted, or can anyone hear me?
Can hear
you. I hear you.
Okay.
Enter an access code, then press pound. To cancel, press star.
That message isn't supposed to be coming onto the conference. Okay, in work groups, I have technology follow-up, elections timeline, staff list, technical advisory, and membership lists. Under unfinished business identified, I have station policies on membership waivers, participation work group recommendations, election supervisor recommendations, with the added item 4D1, campaign use of membership list, which was... something that we have not sent to any. item E was manner of election of affiliates directors, which someone not on the call, I believe, was going to research and report. Item five is new business, which we could determine then or now the order of any new business items. Are there any amendments to this proposed agenda?
Serene,
go ahead.
I don't know what the total minutes are in terms of allotments for individual items, but I would like this meeting to end no later than 10:30 Eastern.
Okay. So shall we put that as a special order of business at 10:30 to consider a motion to adjourn?
I'd like us to set an adjourn time at
okay.
10:30, and we can choose to extend.
Okay, so at 10:30, as a time certain for adjournment, that's 10:30 Pacific time. Is there any objection to amending the agenda in this manner?
10:30 Eastern.
10:30 Eastern time.
Oh, 10:30 Eastern. Oh, okay, so that's so that would be about a little over 2 hours from now.
Okay, in unfinished business, there's no C. There's no item C. I think we went A, B, D, E.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'll change the D to C and change the E to D. Any other amendments? May we approve this agenda as read and amended?
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry?
Yes.
This is minor, but unfinished business should really be number 5 and new business number 6. You might have said that. You have 2 4s.
Oh, I have 2 4s also. Okay. Yes. Okay, I've made that correction on my copy. Any further amendment? And may the agenda be approved as corrected. Okay, that will be our agenda then. And the first item, or the second item, is review and approve the minutes of the March 25th and April 12th meetings. Does anyone need more time to review those minutes?
I just need copies.
Well, you can't review them if you don't have copies.
Yep.
Are you, Mr.
I'll just simply abstain.
Okay.
Just get this over with.
Okay. Then the chair will propose approval of both sets of minutes, a motion that may divide it if there's a problem with one. Is there any discussion of these minutes as sent out to the committee?
Serene, there was one that, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to bring them up now, with regard to the report on the affiliate election process. There was
that would be in April 12th.
Okay, thanks. There was a specific request that, what day did you send this out? I'm trying to get back to them. There was a request.
Well, that would be, let me tell you what I have in front of me now. That would be item 6B on the April minutes, which is reported as Teresa Allen is to research past methods for identifying nominees for affiliate director seats and report back to the committee.
Right. The request was that she work with request assistance from or get feedback. I don't quite remember how we phrased it, but we did specifically ask for the involvement of Ursula Rudenberg.
Mm-hmm. So you would like the minutes to
reflect that.
Teresa Allen is to coordinate with Ursula. Is that,
yeah, I'm trying to get to my notes now. I'm also hearing an echo.
Echo.
Is anyone else hearing that? Or? Hearing that.
It may be your connection in that I only heard a partial echo on you.
Same here.
For the entire meeting. Oh, Teresa, to work with Ursula on report.
To.
And the concern was the outreach and both outreach and process.
What's happening?
What's the delay?
Okay, I'm modifying the minutes in response to a member's request. And I have so far, Teresa Allen is to research PATH methods for identifying nominees for affiliate director seats, working with the foundation's affiliates coordinator, and report back to the committee with particular emphasis on... Is that good or not? Good. Emphasis on outreach and what else?
Process.
And process.
Thanks.
Does that sound good? Should I reread that? Teresa Allen is to research PATH methods for identifying nominees for affiliate director seats, working with the foundation's affiliates coordinator, and report back to the committee with particular emphasis on outreach and process. Is there any objection to this amendment of the minutes? Are there any further amendments to the minutes of either date?
Good.
Okay, Deb Shafto joins the call at 5:31 p.m. Pacific. We're in the middle of approving minutes.
Teresa Allen.
Teresa Allen also joins the call at 5:31 Pacific.
Sorry for the delay.
Sandra, KPFT Houston.
Sandra Rawline.
Hello.
Joins the call at 5:31 Pacific. Can you hear Sandra?
I can.
Very good.
Hi. Gary?
Yes, there's a,
yes.
We're streaming. There's a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of March 25th and April 12th. But do you have any amendments to those minutes?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay, there has been one change to the minutes, which affects you, and it has been approved. If my mouse will come back, I'll update you on that.
I apologize. I just got back in from out of town about 45 minutes ago and haven't even plugged into the computer yet. So,
Terry, I think that's Sandra speaking.
Everybody
not
from Houston just joined the call.
Right, but yeah. You're saying that the change affects Sandra and it affects Teresa.
Well, that was a group you. Regarding Teresa Allen's report on affecting affiliates' directors, we changed the language to the following. Teresa Allen is to research PATH methods for identifying nominees for affiliate director seats, working with the foundation's affiliate coordinator, and report back to the committee with particular emphasis on outreach and process. And that's an agenda item for this meeting, to see... how far we've gotten with that. Any more changes to the minutes of either meeting? Hearing none, may we proceed to approve these minutes? Are there any objections to approving the minutes? The minutes stand.
Terry?
They don't yet. If somebody interrupts, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just very quick. On the 4:12 minutes, page 2, with regard to the elections timeline, the timeline was actually sent to the entire committee, not just to the work group members.
Right. Do you have a number on that?
4C.
4C. Okay, so change work group members to the committee.
Yeah.
Okay, the minutes have been amended that way if there's no objection. Any further amendments? Any objection to approving the minutes as corrected? Then the minutes stand approved. Next item on the agenda, special reports. The item 3A is status and details of election supervisor hire, which was brought onto this agenda based on the preliminary discussion on the last agenda, last meeting. And, Bob, you had an update on
Casey
that.
Peters.
Hi, Casey. Stand by. You're almost up.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, everybody.
And, yeah, Mr. Letterer mentioned that there's been no detailed report yet to the PMB regarding the election supervisor hire.
Right.
I did hear on a teleconference call the executive director mentioned pretty much what was reported to this committee in a report from a member. And so I would propose we postpone further consideration of that item to our next meeting, which hopefully we'll know more about the what information has been given to directors at that time, if any.
I'm unclear about that item. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're waiting for? I mean, the executive director has brought us up to date. What specifically are we requesting?
I believe the original motion was, or the original, it was placed on the agenda by Ms. Roberts, who wanted additional details regarding the various places the job was posted and what outreach was done on that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Didn't Sandra agree to do something on that?
I did contact Mr. Guma regarding where it was posted and when. He said that it would be in his full report to the PMB, which it was. I'm trying to get my computer going right now so that I can pull out the email that he responded to me. But as far as actual details, I don't have them at the moment. I'll have to look up the report.
Okay.
Ms. Rowland, did you get a second? Did you get a follow-up message beyond the one that you reported to us at the last meeting?
No. The only follow-up was when he actually made his full report to the PNB, and I have a copy of that in my email here somewhere. I'm just trying to pull it out once I get this machine going. I can give something further or even forward something to you all.
That would be good.
Sorry.
Ms. Roberts?
Yeah, I don't think we need to continue with it as an item on the agenda. It's at this point for information only, and she can just send it to us and we can take it off the agenda.
Okay.
Any objection to that procedure from the other members? Then let's do that and proceed to item 3B on our current agenda, which is the discussion with National Election Supervisor Casey Peters. Hello, Casey.
Howdy. Out of curiosity, how many people are on this call?
Almost 10.
Okay.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, 12, not including you.
So I'm the 13th at the table.
Yes, you are.
Good, too. Okay. Terry, perhaps it would be good to read off the names so Casey knows who's here.
Sure. Ambrose Lane, Carolyn Burden, Terry Goodman, Bob Lederer, Carol Wolf, Lydia Brazon, Serene Roberts, Jack Van Aken, Jane Gatewood is about to call back, Deb Shafto, Teresa Allen, Sandra Rawline, and Casey Peters.
Okay, well, I know or have met about half of you. Of course, I know all the folks from L.A. Well, I'm not sure where you want me to start, but I'll just give you a brief overview of what I see as the more immediate issues dealing with this year's elections. First of all, I want to say that I want to try to tackle some of the issues early that proved to be a problem in last year's and previous year's elections. And that,
Jane
that
Gatewood?
Hello, Jane. Are you able to take minutes now?
Actually, it's going to be a couple minutes before I get to my computer. I'll let you know when I'm there.
Okay. Okay, so
do you want me to delay my report, or just, it's pretty informal.
Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah. But basically, some of the issues I see as needing to be dealt with right away are database issues, and that comes down to a couple of different things. One is that with the listener sponsor databases, of course, they come from two sources, from the subscriptions and from volunteers. And we need to look into the question of duplicates, both in the MemSys database system and set up procedures to make sure that we don't have people getting, in Los Angeles last year, had reports of people getting 5 ballots. And, of course, there are other people who didn't get ballots at all. So we want to tackle those problems early rather than wait until the ballots have been sent out and then scramble around trying to deal with them. I'm going to be working with some of the subscription departments around the network to make sure that we are asking the right questions of the MemSys system to find duplicates. I think that's part of the problem, is just querying the databases in a manner that will find the information we're looking for. Also, a question is that of unpaid staff voters at the stations. And, of course, there's two different systems of dealing with that. Two stations that have unpaid staff organizations or collective bargaining units have their unpaid staff is based on the membership in those organizations, according to the bylaws. And the other stations, there's been a problem with waiting until the date of record of membership and then looking back and trying to figure out who has fulfilled the requirement of volunteering 30 hours within the past 3 months. So I've asked the general managers at all the stations to appoint a paid staff member to take on an additional task during that 3 months, and that is of having people sign in who are doing volunteer hours so that we can keep track of who is meeting the mark of 30 hours, which really adds up to about 2 hours per week over the qualifying period. That way we'll know on an ongoing basis who is qualifying rather than trying to figure out after the fact. So there have been a couple of memos to management on this so far, and it was also distributed to the PNC at the meeting in April. I don't know whether you want to take questions. Want me to take questions on the issues as we go, or whether you just want me to sort of give you a general rundown on everything and go back to them.
I'd rather hear a whole rundown, if that's all right.
Yeah, I'd rather you a full report.
Sure.
Thank you.
Now, I'm planning on posting the new job descriptions for the local election supervisors this week. I'm not sure when we'll be able to hire, because what I'm informed by the CFO is that we're not budgeted for hiring anybody in June, as I had hoped, because I wanted to get local help on the database questions and all that, but it looks like we won't be able to hire till July, but I want to post as soon as possible so we can start getting applicants and I can start doing interviews. Tend to post on idealist.org, and I believe as well probably on opportunityknocks.org. And somebody recommended Indeed.com. I'm not sure if we're going to post on all of those. But, and also on the Pacifica Foundation / National website as well. So it's going to be an open search process. But as I indicated at the PNB, my inclination is to hire people who've done the job before, if there are people who are interested in doing it again, because they sort of know the ropes and will avoid the steep learning curve and all that. In the cases where I can't hire people who've previously served as LES, my inclination would be to hire people who are not directly ensconced in the politics of Pacifica, but who support our mission. So that's sort of my report about the job postings. And also, we're working on, I'm doing some rewriting on some of the elections documents, and when I'm have all that ready, then we will do a translation into Spanish so that all the documents are ready in English and Spanish. One of the documents I'm doing a rewrite on, well, some of it just needs to be brought up to date on the candidate information. But the I believe that the Fair Campaign Practices pledge needs to be clearer and more concise. And I certainly welcome any input to that end. If any of you have concerns about the Fair Campaign document not being as effective as it might have been, I welcome your input on that. Let's see, what else do I need to cover? I just got out of a day-long retreat with the Californians for Electoral Reform. I'm sitting here in the yard of the Berkeley Fellowship of Unitarians.
AC, this is Art Stasny.
Hello, Arch. How are you?
They didn't announce it, but I'm here. And I hope we can get a little bit of a rundown on how the sort of technical stuff is going, the Wise Trend, Ilya. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, I can't really bring you up to date much on at this point. I am meeting with Ilya on Tuesday afternoon, and I will know a lot more about it after that. I will say that when I spoke with Ilya before, he indicated that there is a updated software that will be available to us for free based on the contract that Les Radke made with them last year. I intend to make the software and hardware available for testing early on, certainly no later than July. We don't want the same problems that happened before to plague us again. There were some glitches, both hardware and software, that need to be addressed. And so the newly revamped elections work group, you told me there was a new name for it, I don't know what it is, we'll hopefully be able to get onto the case on that and thoroughly test the equipment in a very timely manner. So if there's any problems, we can address them well in advance of the candidate campaign period, because once it gets into that, there'll be too many distractions to really be thinking about the vote count equipment. Does that answer your question, more or less, Art?
Yeah, more or less. Obviously, you'll have a lot more after talking to Ilya. One thing to keep in mind is that one CD of the software, one scanner, one USB key, and so on, the testing is almost certainly going to have to be done in one place, namely up in the Bay Area where you are with all that vital equipment. So you have a little task in organizing the testing to pull in the people from other areas when the actual hardware and software is going to be probably at the station in Berkeley. But that's something that you've got to sort out, and maybe you can get multiple copies of the software and multiple USB keys. I don't know. The other problem is that down here we have no ballot images. You know the story on that.
Yes.
Other
yes,
places
we'll
they may have ballot images, but we don't want, you know, the volunteer testers aren't going to go out and buy scanners to make ballot
images. Well, yes, but I think what we need to test the scanner as well, because there was a problem with the feed in the scanner.
Absolutely.
At KPFK, I don't know what happened to other stations, but I understand that at some places that it was a very slow process because the scanner wouldn't take stack feeding; had to be fed sheet by sheet, and
right.
If a sheet
Absolutely.
Was
well, it looks
not
like
fed in straight enough, then it could misread it. So
it looks like you're going to need to collect the equipment, the hardware and the software, probably at the station in Berkeley, and set up a testing procedure and just keep the people who are not in the area informed, and the ones who are in the area, bring them into the room. That would be my suggestion. I'll shut up.
Okay, Art. Hopefully the elections work group in L.A. will have a chance to test it physically in person as well.
That would be great, but not absolutely a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me interrupt and get a stack for questions.
Yeah,
this is
Lydia.
Jack.
Okay, Lydia, who's next?
Jack.
Jack, who's next?
Bob.
Carolyn,
Bob.
Please.
Bob, Carolyn.
Chair, this is Jane Gatewood. I just want you to know I'm online and can take notes.
Okay, I see
did
you.
Did he finish his report?
I got it.
I'm dealing with stuff now that is issues that I think I need to tackle early on, but that's all I can think of to report on at the moment, but I may be overlooking something. So I welcome your questions and hopefully can address them.
Anyone want to be on the stack after Carolyn?
Jane.
Jane. Next. Okay, we currently have a stack of five beginning with Lydia. Go ahead, Lydia.
Casey, the issue of hiring the local election supervisor early, I realized that we would have to make an adjustment to our existing budgets because obviously this was not included when we approved the budgets last year. But it seems to me it would be a negligible amount. I would very much like to make a motion to the effect. But right now the local election supervisors are hired when, in July?
Yes,
right.
My understanding was that that had to come out of the Finance Committee, and I emailed the chair of the Finance Committee and others, and the only person I heard back from was Lonnie Hicks.
Okay, but it's within the purview of this committee to make a motion, and certainly we could then help shepherd it through both finance and the PNB. The PNB is meeting next in June, and what I did on our Friday night meeting is that I asked that there be an agenda item having to do with this because it was included in the executive director's report to the PNB on this last Friday night. Therefore, I asked that the item be added to the agenda. So all we need to do is craft a motion. So my question to you is, if I make a motion here tonight, right now, to hire the local election supervisors early, it's sufficient to just say June because obviously you still have to, you're still advertising.
Right, I'm certainly not going to be hiring them in May. That's just
right.
Not enough
okay.
lead time. Yes.
Well, and also because we're not meeting again until June 8th, so it wouldn't be appropriate. So I won't specify a date other than the month that the election supervisors may be hired as early as June of 07. And so I make a motion to that effect.
Second.
And we're clear, Casey, that of course your primary concern here is for them to help initiate all of the work that needs to be done around the database. Right.
That's what I envision as being the bulk of the early work.
Great,
for the
great. Thank you.
Local supervisors.
Okay. So anyway, so can we?
Could I read that? Lydia,
yes.
Moves that we recommend to the PMB that the. I'm sorry. Just a second. That the National Election Supervisor be authorized to hire the local election supervisors in June?
Yes.
Teresa, could you put me on the stack?
On this motion or the general stack?
On this motion.
Okay, well, we'll have a new stack for this motion. Is there anyone on the current stack who would prefer to speak to this motion?
I'll speak. This Jack, I will.
Also on the main stack is Mr. Lederer, Ms. Burton, and Ms. Gatewood. On motion, I recognize Mr. Van Aken.
Yes, we've been through three election cycles. I'm only aware of one instance where a station actually made the effort to clean up their voter list prior to mailing out ballots. It's doesn't inspire a lot of confidence with listeners when they receive two or three ballots or ballots with funny names, wrong last names, as I did, things like that. So I support this motion because my understanding is that the purpose is to facilitate attempting to clean up the list, which I think is a key piece of having credible elections, which I think we barely have credible elections. I would like safely say we have credible elections. So I support the motion.
Ms. Allen?
I support the motion, but I understand our election supervisor is in wanting to hire some local election supervisors with experience. He is, I'm hopefully we're moving toward a point where we're not. Okay. So we're hoping we're moving to a point where we're not reinventing the wheel every election and that we're getting some accumulated knowledge. Is there any way that we could hire people in June, like part-time or for maybe only or quarter-time, and hire them in July three-quarters time, or, you know, somehow save some money by getting them on board earlier, but having everything lined up for them to do, and, you know, having them devote just a small amount of time earlier to get the ball rolling? I mean, I'm assuming that the election supervisor could make these decisions, that, you know, to provide not only efficiency in the process, but also save us some money, you know, as he sees fit.
Ms. Allen, you could move to amend the motion on the floor for clerical assistance prior to the election of a local election supervisor.
I don't think we need to amend the motion. He should talk to our HR person and the ED if necessary to, you know, we can hire people in June, just not full-time. I don't think that needs to be in the motion, but I thought it went without saying, but I thought...
Well, may I respond to that?
Go ahead.
I appreciate what you're saying, and that was sort of what I had in mind. But I will remind you that the job itself is considered to be 25 hours a week. And as local election supervisor, I can assure you that I often put in two or three times that amount of time. So I think that really it's a part-time volunteer position as well as a hired position, because there's a lot of extra work that unfortunately goes uncompensated. I don't really know how many hours it's going to take, and I'm sure that it will be different at different stations regarding the database cleanup. So I will certainly keep that in mind and ask the local supervisors to report to me as to what kind of time they're putting in this initial stage.
Point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying that the local election supervisors are the ones that are actually going to be hired to clean up the database?
In a sense, yes, certainly. What they're going to be doing is working with the subscriptions people to do that. But as you probably know, the subscriptions departments are pretty busy and often backed up. And particularly right now, there are fund drives going on, and that means that the subscription departments are going to be doing a lot of data entry and billing and all that sort of thing in the coming weeks, and might not have the kind of personnel availability that we need to tackle this at this time. So, yes, I expect that the election supervisors will be helping with the technical task of deleting duplicates and all that, and each station, actually, although they all use Memsys, has different procedures regarding, you know, flagging people who, for instance, pay on a monthly basis, that kind of thing, to make sure that the records that are needed for doing that aren't eliminated. So there's some training involved, certainly, for whoever's doing the job.
Hi, Carolyn Burden here. May I get on the stack, please?
Okay, Carolyn, right after me. Mm-hmm. Mr. Peters, in describing the financial impact of this motion to the PMB, would it be correct to estimate it as approximately $2,000 per station?
Yes, probably it would be about that, $2,200 per station, something like that, if they're hired mid-June rather than mid-July.
Ms. Burden, you're recognized.
Yes, thank you. Casey, I'm concerned because last year this committee actually recommended an outsourced company to deal with the database issue. And I see this coming up again and again. If you have to hire local supervisors who don't know the system, don't know MEMSIS, and may be strangers to the entire process, it's just reinventing the wheel every single time. Have you considered having an outside company deal with the database in order to clean it up, especially since the stations, they have all these different procedures, and you have some people at some stations that really are inputting things not incorrectly. Have you considered maybe using an outside company just for that particular aspect of it, to keep the database system?
Well, the previous question was about budget, and the answer to that really is that I don't see that we could come up with a budget for hiring an outside source to do it. As Mr. Goodman mentioned, we have this cost spread among the five stations would be about $11,000. I don't really know who to approach as an outside contractor to come in and deal with the database problems, but I don't think we'd be able to hire anybody to do all five stations for that small amount of money.
Well, let me put it this way. If you had your druthers, and if the Elections Committee wanted to support such a move, do you think that would be a logical solution, given that you're going to be doing this every single year and every single station?
Well, one of the things I'm hoping to do generally is to set procedures in place which will make it much easier to keep things in order. Now, the fact of the matter is that the purpose of our databases has not been for developing voter lists. The purpose is for having a list of listener sponsors and lists of volunteers, et cetera. So what we're doing is we're changing the databases to get the information that we want out of it, which is not the same goal as the subscriptions departments have. So, again, it's a matter of coming up with the right queries for the database systems, and hopefully to minimize duplications, and also to recognize the instances where there are multiple members in a household, make sure that they all get their ballots.
Ms. Burden, do you have a substitute motion?
Well, I don't want to make one now, but I do hope that I see the problem that the station staff are not, as you say, available. They're in the midst of doing other things. Their concerns are different. They're with premiums and memberships and not a voter database. And I think that I'd like this committee, at least, maybe we can consider professionalizing this and going back to what we did last year, which was to recommend an outside organization very skilled at creating voter databases to do it right for that purpose and leave the departments, the individual stations, to do the subscriptions and so on. I don't want to propose that until we've had a chance to maybe talk about it informally, but that is where I'm heading, and I was hoping that we could think about that. The money, my understanding would be that would save us a great deal of money. It might cost something initially, but just duplicate mailings and it's been a dreadful expense. right there. So I think cleaning up the database would actually be cost-effective in the end.
The motion will be in order as new business at any meeting. Ms. Wolf, did you wish to be recognized?
Yes.
This is Bob.
Okay. I have Carol Wolf and then Bob Lederer.
Serene for the staff, please.
And Serene.
I have a question and a comment. The question is, are the difficulties with the list because they're not maintained properly throughout the year, or is it purely a matter of manipulating the database to produce the voter list?
My perception, do you want me to answer now, or did you have more to your question?
Why don't you go ahead and answer it, and then if I could follow up with a comment.
Sure. My perception is that it's really a problem of people trying to take down information by hand in a noisy phone room, and then other people trying to read their handwriting and enter it into a digital database. And there may be other problems as well, but I think the primary problem is in the whole system of taking down the data from the listener sponsors. I think that we really need to have a look at the phone room, which is the source of most of our funding, and try to figure out how to make it work better, not just for this purpose, but for the purpose of information about the listener sponsors. And just let me give you one example. In Los Angeles, I noticed on the database that there's a member with two membership numbers, and all the information on this member is exactly the same, except on the end of the address on one of the entries is the word road. And so there's this person counted as two members and therefore gets two ballots. There are two different member numbers assigned to this person, so that's the only other difference. They have two different member numbers, and on one entry it says Mandeville Canyon, the other entry says Mandeville Canyon Road. Otherwise, it's all the same person, and so this is the kind of thing that we need to sort of comb through the data to look for, because it's not something that comes up in the queries that are being used with the MEMSIS system now to look for duplicates.
Okay, I'll ask
what about
Mr.
the
Peters,
volunteers?
I'll ask Mr. Peters to try to be briefer on his responses.
I'm
sorry. Go back to Ms. Wolf for a follow-up.
What about the volunteer list? Are there problems maintaining that? That would be a
When people sign up, sign in as volunteers, oftentimes they're not giving their contact information. They might just sign with the first name and last initial, in looking at the KPFK volunteer list, I saw people who were very clearly the same person with three or four different entries given how they happened to sign in at different times when they came in to help the station.
I got it. I would just follow up by saying that at some point, whether it's this year or next year, it seems to me that there's a real systemic issue in the stations, and that whatever it takes to set the policy and procedures and train people properly in the station, because the member list, both voluntary and listener, paid listener members, are crucial to the station. So rather than think about bringing in a consultant every year to clean up the list for the election, I would say that it would be better to hire a consultant to help the national office make it as a paid staff issue within the different stations to learn how to do it well, so that you don't have to deal with it every year.
Mr. Lederer.
Okay, well, first, I support the motion, the original motion. And as far as this question of the best way to clean up the list, I actually worked in the premiums department at WBAI for a few months and was able to be trained within less than a day on how MEMSIS works and how you update the database. So I don't think it necessarily requires a professional firm to be brought in. I think anyone who is qualified and chosen as a local election supervisor could do that. But I agree with the way Casey is explaining it, because I found numerous occasions when part of my job was to deal with queries about why someone hadn't received a premium, and then I'd go into the database and find, oh, there's actually two entries for the same person. But as in Casey's example, the street name was a little different, or the spelling was a little different, or whatever. And the thing that frustrated me in that job was that I never had enough hours in the day to just systematically do nothing but go through and eliminate. I mean, whenever I would find them, I would merge them, and so there was no longer two entries. But I had many other tasks. So, and I'm sure this is the common experience of all the membership departments. So I think this is the role that a local election supervisor could play. And I would add that if, for whatever reason, financial or logistical, that a person can't be found early enough, and so there's kind of a stacked up number of hours of work that needs to be invested in cleaning up the list, that maybe Casey could ask for authorization from the national office to hire temps just to do that type of work, just to go through and clean up duplicates and the couples that may not be properly credited as both being members, or whatever the anomalies are, to straighten all that out. So that's it.
Ms. Roberts?
Thanks. I wanted to say, with regard to the idea of hiring an outside company, I think Carol Wolf touched on this when she was speaking, so I won't belabor it too much. But I think it's a much better investment in Pacifica to actually have the refinements that are needed put in place. And I would assume that there's going to be at least one conversation with the folks at MEMSIS, since that's the system we're all using, to find out what suggestions they may have that would then make it easier for us to use the database for its new purpose. And simply provide the training, whether by conference call or whatever it is, to the staff of the five stations, with Casey on, with someone from MEMSIS, who can actually explain the changes. And I know there, how you phrase what you ask the system has everything, how well you phrase that question has everything to do with what your results are. But the investment should be in Pacifica in terms of preparing the staff to better deal with this, since this is going to be an ongoing issue. We should, use that money at home. That's one point. And my second point is with regard to the hire of the local election supervisors. I do support getting that in place, certainly at the larger stations, as soon as is reasonable. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. We've reached the end of the stack that I have. I'd ask the secretary to reread the motion, and we'll see if there's further discussion.